Item 10, school year calendars, 2020-2021 elementary and secondary. And I'll turn to Director Figueredo.
Thank you to the chair. I will be thanking, before I pass it over to Superintendent Jeff Gillies, who will present this report. But it's hard to believe we are at a time in this school year that we are looking for final approval of our 2020-2021 school year calendar to submit to the ministry by May. I'll pass it over to Jeff Gillies to walk the trustees through the recommended action and through the process that he undertook.
Thank you, Director Figueredo, and through the chair. In January, trustees approved the school year calendar to go forward for public consultation. The report before trustees this evening includes a summary of findings from that consultation, and that is found in Appendix B of the report. And that consultation took place throughout the month of February. Based on feedback, the following updates have been made to the draft calendars since they last came to trustees in January. And I'll ask trustees if they can scroll or turn to Appendix A, and that's the two calendars for elementary and secondary, and I can point out those updates. Firstly, for September 1st and September 4th, those 2 days are now listed as school holidays for students, and this aligns with the coterminous board as well, and just eliminates any confusion in terms of the actual start date of school for students, which is scheduled for Tuesday, September 8th, after the Labor Day holiday. And then the other update to point out to trustees is found in the secondary calendar, and that is that the February PA day has been moved from February 3rd to February 2nd. And this is to ensure a balance of school days between semester 1 and 2. So some minor updates that I just wanted to make trustees aware of since the calendar was last brought forward. And as was stated earlier, the draft calendars have been prepared in compliance with Ministry of Education Regulation 304. And Regulation 304 requires school boards to provide a minimum of 194 school days from September 1st through to June 30th. For the next school year, the total number of school days available from the Tuesday after Labor Day to June 30th is 192. In order to be in compliance with Regulation 304, 2 PA days have been placed prior to the Labor Day holiday, the Wednesday, September 2nd, and Thursday, September 3rd. This provides schools the opportunity to front-load professional learning, including compliance training, to the first day, prior to the first day of school for students. It's important for me to note to trustees that as in other years, students continue to receive the same number of instructional days within the school year, so that equates to 187 instructional days. As always, school holidays are determined through the Ministry of Education and are available publicly through the ministry website. Consultation with the coterminous board has taken place to align PA days wherever possible. And I'll direct trustees to the top of page 10-3. And on that page, there's a listing of PA days. And trustees will note that the days that are listed that include a C beside them, those are days that align with the coterminous board. Trustees will see for elementary, there are 5 PA days. 5 of the 7 that align with the coterminous board, and 4 for secondary, and that's fairly common from year to year. Dates for professional activity days have been established through consultation with the school year calendar advisory committee that includes representation from employee groups, as well as representatives from the HWDSB Parent Involvement Committee, as well as the Council of Home and School Association. Date placement of PA days has also been carefully reviewed and endorsed by Executive Council to ensure timely professional learning opportunities to positively influence student learning, achievement, and well-being. Appreciating the collaborative efforts and guidance of the School Year Calendar Advisory Committee, as well as Executive Council, combined with the positive support received through the public consultation, it's recommended that the calendars before you be accepted for submission to the Ministry of Education by May 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Gillies. So we'll have the motion put forward by Trustee Galindo and seconded by Trustee Miller. Again, this is just so that the report can be put on the floor for debate. So to that, so we'll go through the roll call list for questions or comments. We'll start with Trustee Archer.
No questions or comments, thanks.
Thank you. Trustee Bingham.
No, I'm happy with this, thank you.
Trustee Buck.
I do have a question. Our faith advisory committee has not met at all this school year. And to my knowledge, there was nothing in our calendar stating that they were going to meet before this came back to us, this draft. Were they consulted? Were the chair or vice chair of the faith advisory committee consulted at all? So we are certain that we don't have any dates that conflict with religious holidays.
Thank you very much for the question, Director Figueredo.
Well, thank you. I'll ask Superintendent Gillies to provide an update in terms of chairs being consulted or at least being provided the opportunity.
Thank you. And through the chair, so notice of the public consultation process is made throughout the district and includes all advisory committee groups that are welcome to provide input, whether individually or through those committees. So no concern or identification of conflicts with religious holidays were brought forward through the consultation process.
Trustee Buck, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I just, in my first year as trustee, so just last year, it had been in my experience being on that committee that we did review the calendar and the opportunity was given. So my assumption was that it would always go back to the Faith Advisory Committee for just a second set of eyes, so to speak. Sorry. Just for clarification, is it supposed to be going to the Faith Advisory Committee each year, or what kind of a schedule is that on?
Thank you. Superintendent Gillies?
The hope is that all committees will take an opportunity at some point in time throughout the consultation process to review that. Review the calendar, so that would be up to the committee chairs to navigate timing around that.
Director Figueredo, did you have something that you wanted to add as well?
Yes, just through the trustee Beck, Bucky Beck's question, her experience, we make sure that the co-chairs of each advisory committee have access to it. Whether it fits into their schedule to actually bring it to their committee meeting is dependent on them, but the consultation, all of them are directly emailed. And secondly, Superintendent Gillies also vets any kind of potential conflict of religious holidays through our staff process too, as we have a staff committee who creates religious calendar each year, so we look to see if there's any potential conflicts on any day that we may be looking at in terms of our PA days.
Trustee Buck, does that answer?
It does. Thank you very much. It sounds like we've done our due diligence and that this, we don't have any conflicts that we can anticipate for next year. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Trustee Danko.
Thank you. And through the chair, thank you for going through this in detail. And I know I've asked in the past about can't we shift the break over December? And I know that we have to have 2 full weeks, Monday to Friday, per the regulations. But my one question is about March 5th. And I was wondering if that looks like it's for, where did that go? Improvement process. Just with where it's sitting, it's, you know, it's a short week, a full week, a short week, a full week, and a March break for students. And I noticed that in, because we front-loaded our PA days and professional learning in the fall, there's a big stretch between October and November where there's a number of full weeks. So is there any opportunity to shift that earlier, or is that there for a very particular reason?
Director Figueredo?
Well, I'll begin and I'll ask Superintendent Gillies to add. I know we choose that day is because of our sort of quarterly review and improvement process. We know that the report cards are provided and then submitted for us to do our continuous learning and improvement. So that's a key day where we look at our progress monitoring across our district, and we do it as soon as we can based on when the data is available. I'll ask if Superintendent Gillies has more to add to that day.
Thank you. And through the chair, Director Figueredo has stated what I would say, that the timing is critical there in terms of the mid-year check-in, whereby schools have the opportunity to review important data in terms of student progress and make adjustments early on prior to the end of the school year. So that's an important date, and in past years we've seen great value at that point in time for our staff to come together and engage in that professional learning and timely adjustments to program that are needed at that point in time. Also, that's a day that also aligns with the coterminous board. So typically year after year, we do look to align those that particular PA day.
Trustee Danko, do you have further questions?
Thank you, and thanks for clarifying the purpose of that day. I would say that makes a lot of sense for elementary, given it's a mid-year point. I'm not sure how that works for secondary, given the students would be in their second semester, a new set of courses, and near the beginning of those courses. Can I just get some clarity on how that day is used in secondary?
Director Figueredo?
Yeah, so thank you. Through the chair to Trustee Danko's question. We use a day very similar, but we choose that day as well for secondary because especially our graduating students who have an ability to sort of look at their midterm marks will be submitted to colleges and universities. So we use that day before the April submission to make sure any kind of progress students can make, and that's why we think it's a valuable day for not only elementary, but for secondary as well.
Thank you. Ron? That's great. Thank you.
Okay, moving along through the list, Trustee Beeves.
I just have a question around the PA days. So looking at them here, it seems vague when we talk about improvement process, where we've got the dates for improvement process. So my question is that intentional to give some flexibility, or are they more prescribed than that, but they're just not detailed here?
Yeah. Director Figueredo?
So thank you. So to Trustee Deeb's question, so that's a general statement we need to report to the ministry around improvement, but they're strategically placed at those key times sort of for review. So we look at September around really setting dates and targets around our board annual plan goals around reading, mathematics, graduation, and and the wellness piece around safe, support, and accepted. So that's why it's strategically placed in that location to get the target setting. March, as Superintendent Gilley said, is sort of that after the February report cards in elementary and secondary looking at grade 12, we have them, again, look at their targets based on the data that's been updated in our student information system through report cards. And then June, we do it, well, again, for them to then reflect, assess and reflect on the, on sort of where they've landed, and we want to start thinking of the planning leading into September. So that's why we strategically place those where they are. And more detail and prescription is provided through our learning services department around some of the data analysis pieces and target setting and professional learning connected to the improvement process.
Okay. Further questions? And my last question on that then is, do we get from those PA days, do we get feedback from staff?
Director Figueredo?
So thank you through the chair. So there are opportunities where we provide the principals ask for exit cards and feed the feedback. That's where we also update the school annual plans, where then we update them so they're ongoing. But it's through the principals, and we do have part of our presentations that are created exit cards that feed back to the principals, that feed back into us around us monitoring how we need to respond. So there is a mechanism put in place through our school administrators leading it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Johnstone. I just want to take an opportunity to recognize the hard work that went behind this report and preparing the school year calendar for next year. So I want to thank Superintendent Gillies and all the staff that were involved in that process. I'm looking at the number of respondents that we had to the survey, which was part of the consultation process. We had 756 respondents, and the breakdown, as Superintendent Gillies noted, is strongly in support of a lot of the dates that we chose or that were selected or recommended for PA days and so on and so forth, including the first day of school, the last day of school for both secondary and elementary. So I'm confident that we're making the right decisions with this recommendation to move forward, and I just want to take an opportunity also to thank everyone that participated in the surveys and consultations, from staff to parents and students. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. I am the mover of this report. Trustee Miller.
No questions. Thank you.
Trustee Pagan Miller.
No questions, thank you.
Trustee Tutt.
No questions, thank you.
Student Trustee Muddy.
No questions, thank you.
Student Trustee Prozic.
No questions, thanks.
Thank you. So to the motion to approve the school year calendar for 2020-2021, both elementary and secondary, is there any trustees who are voting against the motion to approve? Hearing none, the report passes. Thank you, trustees. Moving along to the report, item 11, which is report from Committee of the Whole private session held earlier this evening. Trustee Danko, can you please provide the report?
Thank you, and through the chair, just let me bring that back up in the many documents I have open.
No problem.
It's coming. Downloading. That's not it. Here it is. Okay, apologies. So, thank you, and through the chair, it is my pleasure to present the report of the private session of the Committee of the Whole held earlier this evening. That the Human Resources Committee report from March 2nd, 2020 be received. That the Finance and Facility Committee report from March 12th, 2020 be approved, including acquisition of property in the Flamborough-Waterdown area for a future school site. That the Finance and Facility Committee report from April 9th, 2020 be received.
Thank you. And we'll have Trustee Pagan Miller second the report. With that, I'll just ask broadly, is there any questions with regards to the Committee of the Whole report from earlier this evening? Hearing none, we'll again go to a negative report. Are any trustees voting against the motion to approve? Hearing none, the report does pass. Thank you, Trustee Danko and Seconder Pagan-Miller. To that, we'll move on to item number 12, oral reports from our liaison committees. Item A is with the School Board Liaison Committee, and at this time, I do not have a report as we have not met. Moving along to item B, Hamilton Wentworth Home and School Association, and we'll turn to Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Trustee Johnstone. There's no report at this time, I believe. I'm going to turn to Trustee Danko as well, who is also a member of the committee. It's my understanding that the committee was unable to meet due to COVID-19 closures.
I'll turn to Trustee Liaison Officer Miller. Can you please confirm?
Through the chair, that's correct. There's been no Home and School Association meetings.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Galindo. So moving along to item C, Hamilton Foundation for Student Success, Trustee Pagan-Miller. Do you have any reports to bring forward?
Yes, I do, and I'm very pleased to give this report. The foundation is stepping up and has established the COVID-19 Relief Fund to ensure that HWDSB students have equal opportunities to stay healthy, learn, grow, and succeed during this difficult time. The COVID-19 Relief Fund is focusing funding to fulfill the nutritional and technological needs of...
I think Dale's in the bathroom.
What? Hello?
Oh, someone's not on mute. So continue with your report, Carol.
Okay. So funding to fulfill the nutritional and technological needs of students who no longer have access to in-school nutrition programs and technology. Now, the Hamilton Food Share and Kids Help Phone Donation. On Monday, March the 23rd, the Board of Directors for the Hamilton Foundation for Student Success approved the motion to donate a total of $35,000 towards student nourishment and mental health support. Hamilton Food Share was the recipient of $25,000 and Kids Help Phone received $10,000. Each of these organizations are well equipped to address the needs of HWDSB students and their families during this challenging time. And with that, that's the report.
Thank you, Trustee Pagan-Miller. The committee is certain, or the foundation is doing incredible work at this time, and we appreciate the contributions of yourself on this committee as a representative of the Board of Trustees, as well as the contributions of all of our committee members. So at this moment, I would like to ask trustees if anyone has questions. I will go through roll call on this. Trustee Archer.
No questions at this time.
Trustee Bingham.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Trustee Buck.
No questions.
Trustee Danko.
No questions, but just want to comment that it's really a privilege to have worked with the foundation before and to hear about the great work they're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Deese.
Just a comment and a question, and I think just echoing that, just thank you to the foundation and the great job that they're doing. I'm just wondering, when they make a donation such as to the Kids Help Phone, Do they get a report back on how the money was spent? Is there any kind of reporting mechanism that comes back to them, or is it just they donate it?
So I'll turn that over to the director with the quick comment that normally when we're providing donations, we wouldn't, as our board wouldn't have oversight of, say, Kids Help Phone, we wouldn't necessarily be entitled to a report, but I'll turn to the director. Director Figueredo?
Thank you to the chair. This is my first experience with the foundation that they've actually been in a financial position to do so. I know when the discussion happens with the directors of the foundation, they asked the executive director for updates in terms of how the money was spent or where it was spent. So I know the foundation directors asked for an update. It's not a detailed report. It would be more to the spirit of where it was spent for what purpose. But that would go to the foundation as part of their sort of update monitoring process. But again, it's probably the first time since I've been director that such a generous donation to another partner has been made by our foundation. So I'll seek further clarity to that question because it'll probably be the first time.
Thank you.
Yeah, on that, because I know when a donation that size is made to an organization, I've seen it many different ways, and sometimes there isn't any. I'm not saying detailed reporting back to the foundation, but just sort of here's how your money was spent. And then I've seen other funders that request quite an overview a report back, just saying how the money was spent, kind of thing. So that was just why my question was, and seeing that it was the first time. That the and kudos to them. I think it's great that they were able to do that. But it's also nice to know that not just that you donated the money, but then how it was spent. So, thank you.
Thanks, and we will look forward to a further report back from on that item through the director and then through to the to the foundation. Moving along, Trustee Galindo, do you have any questions or comments?
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of comments. Thank you, Chair Johnstone. First, to say how incredibly happy I am to see how adaptive the foundation has been to the current need in the community. Like anything, we didn't have any heads up that this was going to be happening, and within a matter of seconds, I was happy to see strong communication coming up from the foundation and adaptability to make sure that those who are in the greatest need are receiving the help that they need. I think kind of adding on to the comment that Trustee Deeth made around report backs, I know that Kids Help Phone as an organization and as a not-for-profit does release an annual report every year that shows how their money was spent. And I would imagine that like other not-for-profits will be seeing something similar from them. But just a thank you to staff and everyone that's been involved and all those who have been donating so far.
So I am going to put myself on the list, or make a comment, which is we have been hearing that one of the top questions that teachers are being asked when they have been connecting with HWDSC families is food resources in our communities. So I was very happy to hear about the large donation being made to Hamilton Food Share, as that is certainly a pressing need in our community at this time. And I was also very grateful to hear about the donation being made to Kids Help Phone, as that has been another major source of support for students during this time. And there's been a number of news articles on the increase in students reaching out to Kids Help Phone for support during COVID. Moving along, Trustee Miller.
Hi, no questions. Just, echoing very much the sentiment of what has been said here tonight. It's been so incredible to watch the foundation step up and really be a leader in the city at a time, particularly around food insecurity and those issues that are hitting our most at-risk families. So just, thank you for everyone's work on that and bringing that
to the forefront of, you know, the issues that we're facing. And just also, you know, a great big thank you to everyone on exec council and all the staff, because it's been such a multi-layered approach at every level that we've been seeing over the last few weeks, both the distance learning, you know, community connections, mental health. I know that communications department and the mental health department has been, you know, putting together a lot of info slides and a lot of things along social media that has been very helpful for us as trustees to put back out into our communities to give our students and their families a way to connect with us. So the work of the foundation is one side of it, but it's, I think, we're very reflective of who we are as an organization. So thank you to everyone at every level for all the work that has been happening. It's been really wonderful to see. So thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Moving along to Trustee Paken Miller, do you have any further comments?
No, just that I'm thrilled to be part of an organization like the Foundation that are doing such excellent work. I really love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt?
No questions, thank you.
Student Trustee Meddy?
No questions, thank you.
Student Trustee Prozek?
No questions right now, thanks.
Thank you. So we can continue to move through as there's no vote required for these reports. So item D, the Ontario Public School Board Association report. The report here for trustees is 28 MPs met on April 14th in order to ensure social distancing. Sorry, that's MPPs, so members of provincial parliament. And with that, they approved the extension of the provincial declaration of the state of emergency, and they extended that until May 12th. They also passed Bill 189, which had implications to the Education Act, as it allowed school boards as well as other municipal agencies to continue to charge EDCs in order to, source new revenue sources for new school construction projects. MPPs will be returning every 28 days to renew the order as per the Emergencies Act. And they also will be extending the list of essential workers who are eligible to receive emergency child care. With regards to upcoming regulation changes, there has been a discussion about modifying the school year calendars in order to cancel some of the upcoming professional development days in light of the current situation. To bring, notice to trustees that the grants for student needs will be coming late this year as a result of the current situation. And they will be coming, they're expected to come in early May. And finally, OFSPA partnered with the Ontario Public Student Trustees to create the Ontario Public Student Trustee Scholarship. And that was passed at the end of February. This partnership has produced two $500 scholarships for student trustees. And that information is available on the website, and it's to recognize the outstanding work that they are doing in their schools and communities. So with that, that concludes my report. I'll just ask broadly, is there any questions? Hearing none, with that, we'll move to a motion, or just before we move to a motion to adjourn, I have received a request from Trustee Liaison Officer Miller to have our meeting start at 5 p.m. She will be reaching out during the duration of COVID-19. So, Trustee Officer Miller will be reaching out to trustees this week in order to confirm availability with regards to a 5 p.m. start as opposed to the 6 p.m. start. With that, I'll be looking for a motion to adjourn. And so Trustee Paul Tutt Trustee Paul Tutt will have bring forward the motion, and it will be seconded by Trustee Bingham. So to the motion to adjourn, is anyone against the motion?
Trustee Galindo has a parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
Is there no chair's report or student trustee report or director's report at this meeting?
No. So you will look to the agenda where it says item 12 and item 13. Normally those reports come once a month. So at the next board meeting, you would have those items on the agenda.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anyone voting against the motion to adjourn? Hearing none, adjournment passes. Thank you, trustees, and have a good night. Stay safe.